Welcome to the Glory to His Name podcast. We're excited today about an interview that we did with Brother Daryl McCorkle. I guess I had to summarize the podcast. I would say it is amazing what God can do through one faithful man. Brother Daryl is a great blessing. We got to fellowship with him before and after the podcast. And Brother Travis, he's going to open up the podcast with an intro here in just a second. So I don't want to say too much. I do want you to listen to this and comment on it. Send us an email to glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. Please reach out to us and share this podcast with your friends, please. So stay tuned as Brother Travis does a little short intro for us, and then we'll make some final comments at the end.
Glory to His Name audience. Today, Mike Carpenter interviews Daryl McCorkle. Daryl is a longtime friend of Roger Irvin, who you may remember from a previous podcast. Roger was the former owner of Irvin Elevator. Roger, who is a great witness for the Lord in his own right, recommended we contact Daryl for this podcast. Roger has been impacted by the faith and prayer life of his friend, and knew that Daryl would be a blessing to the Glory to His Name audience. Both of these men have a lot of wisdom about them. They share a deep conviction in what they believe. It was evident when talking to Daryl that he is a man of the Bible and one who believes in prayer. We hope you gain some spiritual insight as we did, and hear the conviction in his voice as he discusses his testimony and his ministry for the Lord. We'll pick up with Mike introducing Daryl in this interview conducted in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Enjoy this interview with Daryl McCorkle.
And Roger Irvin, we did a podcast with Roger here a few weeks ago, and Roger was a great help to me, and I know a lot of people. And Roger is doing a great job as far as witnessing. He has a thing you listen to, and if you listen to the podcast already, you know about it, Share Jesus Without Fear. And so Roger, every time he comes to my work, he is talking to those people about the Lord, and I really appreciate his faithfulness doing that. And so Roger, after we did his podcast, he told us about Daryl and said, you know, I think he'd be a great person to interview. And so Daryl, we appreciate you being here today with us.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. We never take anything for granted, what the Lord lines up for us. And, you know, Travis and I always tell people, everybody's got a story, you know. And there's some common themes with everybody, you know, about salvation and, you know, how God uses them. But it seems like every story is a little bit different than the other person, you know. It's like Roger surviving the cancer and how God, you know, manifested his presence with that. And I've got a story, you do, Travis does, so we all have stories. That's what we're trying to do, is just get people's, you know, get your story out to people that will tune into the podcast. And it may be, you know, your story, somebody might tune in and they're going through a certain situation or circumstance, and your story can help them out. And so that's why we're doing this. So if you would, Daryl, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and just go ahead, brother.
Well, I'm from Mumfordville, Kentucky.
Okay.
Grew up there. Married to my wife, Vanessa. And, got three kids, two girls, Brittany and Ray Dina, and son Micah, and two good grandkids, Jameson and Creedon. And just trying to do whatever we can do for the Lord.
Sounds like you got a full house, and God's blessed you with a good family. And so, what you were saying that earlier, Daryl, you said God, when He saved you, I think you said Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and it's probably different than what most people go through. I was 27 years old. I'd been out of church for a long time. And a lot of people was coming and talking to me, trying to get me to come. And the job I was working at the time, I was working 6 days a week, 50 hours a week probably. Wow. And the only day I had to do anything was Sunday. I loved to hunt and fish. That's what I done on Sunday. But in October of 88, I was sitting in a deer stand that Sunday morning. And the Lord said, it's time to get in church. So I come down, got home, didn't make it to Sunday school, but I made it to church. And the preacher preached, and he was eating me alive. But the devil kept saying, you all right. Just break this off. You all right. Well, every time a door was open, I was there. But every time they was preaching, the Lord was dealing with me. And I thought I was saved, thought I was saved when I was a teenager.
Okay.
There's a difference in thinking you're saved and knowing that you are.
Absolutely, bro.
So this went on from the middle of October till we was going to have a little service that Christmas Eve night with no preaching, just a little candlelight service. And the Lord got a hold of me that night like he never had got a hold of me before. I couldn't talk. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. And I know then it was time I done something. And the Lord saved my soul that night.
Amen. Sure.
And now I got no doubt about that.
Right.
So he don't give up on you.
No. That's good.
But I've been as close to him that I could have walked on water, I think. And I've been far enough away from him that I wouldn't hurt him if he was hollering at me. But I think that's just how we get sometimes.
Sure.
But he's always there. He's always good. And I had a heart attack in December the 28th of 12. Shot back twice. I'd sort of had the feeling for a few years. I mean, I've taught Sunday school, I've led singing. But if you ain't doing what the Lord wants you to do, he'll keep at you till you do. And when I had the heart attack, I shot back twice. And I know then that he had a lot more for me to do than what I'd been doing. So, a year ago in May, out in the garden one Saturday morning about daylight, I said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do.
Amen.
So I've been preaching his word, and there ain't nothing like it.
Well, so tell us, how's the Lord dealing with you about, you know, just, I know it's had about a year now, and you've been teaching Sunday school for a long time, so how's everything working out as far as, you know, God giving you thoughts about messages and...
I give it to him on a Saturday morning, then I'd preach his word. That next Tuesday morning, he gave me my first message. And it was out of the third chapter of Revelations. And I mean, first thing I said was, Lord, that's mighty tall cotton for a man starting out preaching to be preaching. But he said, that's what I want you to preach.
Amen.
And, you know, of course, starting out preaching, if you don't give it to him, it's just going to be a mess up anyway. But that night, he showed me what he can really do if you let him have control. So he's got you back if you give it to him.
Amen.
And just let him have his way in your life.
That's good, brother.
But I learned real quick after I told him that I'd preach his word Like I said, I've taught Sunday school for years and thought I know the Bible. I didn't know nothing. That become a whole new book to me from what it was from just teaching.
Okay. That's good. What's something like the biggest victory or something God's done, you know, obviously calling you to preach is a great happening to anybody, you know, to preach His word is the greatest calling there is, you know, far surpasses anything in this world. What's something stands out in your mind that God's done for you, Daryl, that maybe down through the years, you know, that is just a great victory in your life? Maybe concern your family or maybe ministry, I don't know.
I guess one thing that stands out more to me than anything was we was in revival. Well, it's been several years ago now. And it really put me to thinking on people. There was a boy coming that was in a wheelchair, and he was paralyzed from his waist down. And they'd come, this was like third, fourth night, and they was there every night. And the way the church was built, and the crowd was so big that they had him sort up on a platform over to the side where there was some more benches, but he'd pull that wheelchair up there, and he listened with everything in him. On the fourth night, when the preacher got done, and they was gonna give altar call, and I'll never forget this as long as I live, he throwed himself out of that wheelchair, and he pulled himself to the altar by carpet.
Is that right?
And give his life to the Lord.
Wow, that's a wonderful.
Now I get cold chill bumps right now thinking about it.
Absolutely.
But I got to thinking of all the people that was there that was lost, that all they had to do was stand up and walk. That he done that showed me he'll save anybody anytime. But all you gotta do is make that first step.
Yeah, it's up to us to make that first step. I'm gonna, here in a second, ask Travis to help us out, chime in, but I wanna ask you this one question, Daryl. That was a wonderful story, you know. I'm getting kind of, you know, just thinking about that boy, you know, coming out of that chair and crawling up there and asking God to save him. That's amazing. You know, his arm's not short, and, you know, he can still save, you know. Tell everybody this, brother. What's been the most difficult time since you've been saved? The one day, week, whatever, for you and your family or whatever it is, but what's been that one, the most difficult day in your life since you've been saved?
I can't say that there's one specific day, but I've talked to Roger about it on the way up here. The last 3 weeks, the devil has hit me with everything he can hit me with.
Wow.
I got a brother in bad shape in Louisville that's got cancer, and my wife, she's been down since, it'll be 3 years in December.
Okay.
On oxygen, and it just seems like the last, everything has just been a mess.
Okay.
But Satan does that. You know, I told Roger on the way up here in John 10:10, it says he's here to kill, steal, and destroy. Whatever he can do to us to knock us off our game, to get our minds off what we ought to have it on, that's what he's trying to do. And I think he knows his time is short, and people that's really trying, he's out to get you.
I'll go ahead, brother. I'm listening.
Sure.
Doing okay. Yes, sir.
Going, you know, the last 3 weeks and how it's been kind of a trial or, you know, difficult time, obviously, you know, you got your wife and the devil's on your back, you know, trying to, what would you say to other people that may be going through that situation? You know, and we all do, you know, I've been saved now since 96, I think, yeah. And March 10th, 1996 when I got saved. And there's some good days in the ministry and there's some bad days. And it seems like you think you get up in the morning, everything's going great, and all of a sudden the devil comes from side, you know, blindsides you from, you don't know what happened, you know. Kind of turns your world upside down. What would you, I know you're going through that right now, what would you say to someone that's listening to this podcast that's going through or getting ready to go through that? What would you tell them?
Don't give up. Hold your head up high. Stay in that word. Pray. Seek his face. And keep doing what he wants you to do.
Amen, brother. That's good. What? Tell us a little bit about your teaching Sunday school, brother. Down through the years.
My Sunday school teaching, everywhere I've taught Sunday school that they've asked me to teach, they've always had a Sunday school book. Well, to me, they ain't but one book,
there you go.
And that's the Bible. And I've always told them, if you want me to teach Sunday school, we're going to teach it out of the Bible. We ain't going to do no Sunday school books.
Right.
Because that's where it's at. Okay. He wrote it there. They ain't no need writing it somewhere else.
That's good, bro. That's fair.
Just pray and let the Lord show you where he wants you.
Yeah.
And he'll give you what you need.
Oh, yeah. Seems like, you know, for this life experiences, everyday life, you know, you go through stuff at work or with your family or maybe on, you know, dealing with your garden. You know, you get some thoughts and... all of a sudden, God starts putting that on your heart, and you get a little thought there, and you get some scripture to back it up, and, you know, keep it in context with the scriptures, and it seems like that's the way it works for me sometimes, you know. Then there's sometimes you beat your head on the wall, and you can't get anything. I don't know if...
That's right.
I'm reminded of a podcast with Travis and I just did with... we haven't got it loaded up yet. We're getting ready to. These two people, a husband and wife, we interviewed, they went to church down in South Carolina, Tabernacle Baptist, and the preacher's, his name is Harold Seidler, and he's passed away now a few years ago. But one day, and his message is pretty famous, it's called Can God, and on Psalm said, Can God prepare a table in the wilderness, right? And what he preached on, brother, that text there, but through the message, he said, God can. Well, what happened was that day, Brother Seidler could not get any thoughts to preach that morning. He begged God and tried, but nothing was coming to him. He said, Lord, I have got to get up here and feed your people. I don't have anything to give them. So he went up there that day, brother, and they told the story. I didn't know all that. He said he went up there and opened up his Bible and that text right there. And it's still on the internet right now. You can pull it up. It's about a 30, 40 minute message. And I've listened to it 15, 20 times now. And I just have tears in my eyes every time I listen to it. But it's a motivational message that God gave him. But he says God can, no matter what the circumstances are, you know. Here God's fed them and brought water out of the rock and, you know, done countless things to help his people out. And then they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And he said, God can, you know.
That's right.
So, yeah. And there's some days, you know, that are pretty tough for us that you beat your head on the wall and think, man, I just can't get anything together. But God always works it out, amen. He always, you know, as long as we're studying and putting our best foot forward, praying and, you know, trying to do our best to read and meditate, God always, you know, gives us something. And I don't make it a practice getting up there or nothing, so. What's something you're excited about now, you know, about a year now, you said in May, that God's called you to preach and you're preaching now, and Roger talked to me about that. What's something you're excited about moving forward in the next few months or a couple of years, Darryl?
Having my own church.
Okay.
And I don't know how that's going to come about. I mean, the Lord put it in my mind a few times. Just go out here to the barn and start one. You know, he was born in one.
Yeah.
He can save in one.
Absolutely.
He can preach you in one.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just got that in his hands, and wherever he wants it, wherever he wants me. That's the main thing. It ain't where I want to be, it's where he wants me. Yeah. So that's in his hands. I'll be tickled to death to go, but I'm waiting on him.
That's the best way to do it, brother. If we try to do it our time or our way, usually it comes to naught and falls apart, right?
That's right.
And I was just a friend of a pastor that Travis and I know that comes to our camp meetings. He was had a little thing on Facebook. So he puts a little, you know, scriptures on there. And he said today, I can't remember the whole quote, but he said today, you know, we're kind of making church a social movement and kind of being trying to be, not everybody, but some of them are trying to be politically correct, and we're not being biblically correct. And so we still need sound biblical doctrine being preached to us. And now here it is. You know, God's been using you all these years, preparing your heart.
That's right.
All of a sudden, God calls you to preach. Now he's put in your heart that, you know, you may start a church sometime or in your barn or whatever, you know. And a lot of times, those churches get started in homes, you know, basements of a home. And all of a sudden, they save up money, they get some ground, they build a building. And so who knows what God's got for you. And that's exciting to hear about that, brother.
Brother, can I?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want the...
No, really. Okay.
Making me think of a couple things, but our pastor, when he started our church at Good Shepherd in Eminence, Kentucky, a little town out in Henry County, and he tells the story of how you know, all that came about. I mean, how everything got going, and he said that he had seen this little building that was owned by the fire department and thought that, you know, that'd be a good building to start a church in, you know. And so he just went on thinking about that, pondering it, you know, thinking it, rolling around in his mind. And he said he got a call that week. He said, I hadn't told a soul, you know, about the, anything about me thinking about that. You know, I just kind of rode by. I was riding through town, knew God called me to preach recently, and I was trying to think where to start. And he said, really hadn't discussed it with anybody. He got a call at home, and somebody said, I heard you're looking for a church building, you know. And he said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. And they said, well, there's a little building in Eminence that used to be owned by the fire department, and we're looking for a renter, you know. And so, anyway, long story short, he got that building. And he said they had to go in there and clean the mold off the walls and paint it, you know. And I think they actually had it looking like a pretty sharp little church, you know, when they were all done with it. But he said, man, if I'd known about that, if I'd known the Lord's going to give it to me like that, I'd ask for the First Baptist Church or the that was uptown and empty at the time, you know. It made me think about that. The other thing I was thinking, brother, when you were talking about that, we were talking to the missionary, Brother Whittemore, during camp meeting. He's in his 80s. I don't remember, 82, 6?
Something like that.
And he said he's been praying that God would make his last days his greatest days. He could get more done for the Lord, and God's doing it, yeah. You know, so... you know, Moses didn't get started right off the bat. We don't always get started, you know, when we're a teenager, you know. I mean, it's God. But the thing is, brother, the Lord's locked away a lot of wisdom between your ears in that time and done a lot in your heart, and you can be used greatly of the Lord. We should be praying for you, brother. I just didn't just add that to
absolutely. The way, no, I appreciate that, brother. It's good to think about how God worked out with Good Shepherd and our pastor. Daryl, what would be some of the best advice you'd ever received, maybe from a friend or your wife, or who knows, maybe somebody at church or your child, I don't know. But
I guess that would come from Mr. Brother Rogers sitting right over here. You know, he, that study he does on witnessing.
Yeah.
I've sat through it, and it's mighty good. And I think every church ought to hear it. And it happened this week. When I pray in the mornings, I say, pray, Lord, you place somebody in front of me today to where I can plant a seed. I love my garden. I love planting seed. Amen. And you can plant seed for him. And that's like this week. I guess it was Tuesday. I go in early. A lot of times, an hour or two before anybody else even thinks about being there, but very seldom to eat breakfast. Mm-hmm. So I was hungry, so I thought, well, I'm gonna go Dairy Queen and get me a biscuit and grater. Of course, I'd pray, Lord, you let me plant a seed. So when I pull up an order, she told me that'll be $3.16. And the Lord whacked me in the side of the head just as soon as she said that. So I pull up to the window and she slides it open. She said, that'll be $3.16. And I said, do you know what John 3.16 says? And she says, no.
Young girl.
Young girl. So I told her, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And she looked at me sort of like I had three heads. But I planted a seed. That got her to thinking. Hopefully, that'll get her to open my Bible and let him take control of that. Get up in the morning. Pray that the Lord lets you plant a seed somewhere.
That's good. I'm not a gardener, brother, by any chance, any means, but my dad used to grow a garden every year. My brother, that's over me, Alan, him and my dad used to grow a garden all the time, probably like you do, you know. And every year they'd be out there, you know, doing all that stuff. I was just thinking when you were saying that about planting a seed, brother, how many times I've watched my dad and my brother, but that ground's got to be tilled up.
That's right.
Before you plant the seed, right? You got to make it, you get the soil prepared, right? And just giving her that is breaking through some fallow ground, like the Bible calls it, you know. And, but that has to happen, you know. 3 months from now or 6 months from now, she may see you pull through the drive through and she say, sir, I want to tell you what happened. You know, I got saved.
That'd be good.
Yeah. And you may not know it, but maybe in heaven we'll find out, right?
That's
yeah.
Right.
So,
brother, tell them about your garden. Where you keep
yeah.
It. This is a joke.
That's a joke with Travis and I, brother. But our garden, we keep it at Kroger, brother. You walk in, it's well watered. We've got people in there taking care of it, cleaning it up, make sure they rotate the crops and everything. And yeah, we tease everybody at church. Yeah, we say, how's your garden doing? Oh, mine's doing good, man. Have green all over, water, well watered. So, what's Darryl? What is a daily habit? And I know we all, no doubt, we all pray and whatever it is, you know, read our Bibles, pray, meditate, whatever it is. What is something that you do in your life last few years, just something daily, that kind of keeps you in sync and helps you along the way?
I guess that morning prayer gets you started. And everybody, I don't care who you are, knows somebody and needing some kind of help from the Lord, whether it be sickness or something.
Yeah.
And since my grandbabies has come along, I pray hard for my grandbabies.
Amen.
One of them 7, the other 17 months.
Wow.
But when you read the Word and you see what's coming, and I'm afraid we might be close to seeing a lot of bad things go to happening, because the Bible is fulfilling itself every day. So I just want him to take care of my grandbabies, because they're going to need it more than anybody.
Amen, bro. We would. Yeah, prayer makes a difference, doesn't it?
That's right.
I got a guy that Travis and I know, he's been to our church, our camp meeting before. His name's Doug Thompson. I'm friends with him on Facebook also. He got a burden starting a Facebook group called Gideon's 300. You know, God kind of whittled everybody down until he got Gideon and said, look, we finally got 300, you know, Gideon.
Yep.
We know the story there. And so he's asking for at least 300 people. And if there's more, you know, to pray about it. And every week it might be like, husbands, you know, pray for husbands and the wives, you know, or let's pray for our pastor, let's pray for our community, whatever it is. He may have a certain topic he's praying on that week, and I try to get in there a couple times a week when I get home. Usually it's like 8 or 8:30 when he comes on, and that's been a blessing for me. You know, it really, and you know to pray, and, you know, we're Christians, that's what we do, right? You know, a dog barks because he's a dog, right? Well, Christians pray.
That's right.
And, but through his that what he's doing there on that Gideon's 300 and people chiming in, brother, pray for my daughter or my son, haven't spoken to him in 3 months, please pray for him. I mean, heart-wrenching stories, some of them are, and some of them are just, you know, my dad's sick or my son's sick, whatever. But it's encouraged me, brother, to even pray more, you know?
That's right.
And we can all pray more, right? And that has been such a blessing in my heart to be a part of that. And just, you know, just, and at the end he'll pray, and let's pray for all these, you know, requests that have been made. And right now he's praying for that hurricane to kind of, hopefully that all settles down. But in prayer, it always gets the job done. Even starting your day out, brother, that's a good thing. We all need to be reminded of that. What and we've kind of touched on it already, Daryl, but sometimes life gets tough, right? The last 3 weeks, right?
That's right.
Devil shows up, car breaks down, house, whatever it is, right? What do you and your wife do, and it may just be getting away for a day or maybe a week, but what do y'all do just to get away and kind of clear your head sometimes?
Since she's been sick, we've been somewhere to eat 3 times.
Okay.
I mean, she's on oxygen.
Right.
She just...
Your main focus is taking care of her.
We just chill out at the house.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. You need some downtime sometimes, just kind of hang out. Yeah. I don't know what you mean, everybody. Especially if you've got a full day. What is there, and we all hold true and would recommend the Bible to anybody, right? Let me talk to you. Is there any book that you might have come across the last few years, brother, that you might recommend to somebody?
I talked to Roger about that coming up here. I could probably take away 2 fingers on one hand and tell you every book I've read. To me, there ain't but one book.
Right.
And most people's got them, but few people read and study them. Like they ought to. That's where it's at.
That's good.
You know, people buy books and get into them deep, and all they want to do is talk about them. If they do the Bible the same way, our country would be a whole lot better off.
Oh, for sure, brother.
You know, that is the book, and that's always going to be the book.
What part of the Bible? I mean, I know I've, for me, Job, you know, the book of Job, I've kind of done a lot of studying through that and reading, and the tabernacle also down through the years. Is there a certain book kind of stands out to you, maybe a favorite portion of scripture maybe?
I got two. I got one in the Old Testament, I got one in the New Testament. Jonah is my favorite in the Old Testament.
Amen.
Because that man, he found out what God can do. And there ain't no running, and there ain't no hiding.
You know something about that, don't you, brother?
Yes, sir. And my favorite book in the New Testament is James.
Amen.
If everybody read through that and get a hold of that,
be good.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yeah.
But you got to get a hold of that to get that righteous.
Good. Yeah, you're right, brother. If we could get to that point on a daily basis, you know, and sometimes it's there and sometimes we struggle with it, right? So, well, in kind of closing out today, Daryl, you give our listeners just a parting piece of advice, it's, you know, maybe something on your heart you've been thinking about the last few days, and then maybe a way to for our listeners to get in touch with you if that's possible.
Get up in the morning praying. Look for a way all day long to share his word. The job that I have, I read water meters.
Okay.
And I have 2 gospel radio stations that I listen to all day long. So I get up one morning, get in the truck, and the Lord says, you know, you hear this beating and banging out of all these vehicles going up and down the road that you can't understand what's being said or done. He said, crank that up. and let people hear this gospel music. So I did, and it happened quick. I pulled into a place, and I left the door open, and I had to walk up a little piece to get to the meter. And the guy that owned the place pulls in, and he hears this gospel music. So he just pulls up there where I'm at. And he said, "You're a Christian, ain't you?" "Yeah." And he said, "That's gospel music coming out of your truck." I said, "Yes, sir." And he fell apart on me right there. And we knelt right there in his yard.
Is that right?
On the side of the road and had prayer.
Okay.
And that's happened several times since then.
That's wonderful, bro.
So when the good Lord says crank it up, crank it up.
Amen.
And he'll take care of the rest of it.
That's good, bro.
But just do everything you can do for the Lord every day, because he did it all for us. Just keep on keeping on till he comes back.
Yeah, you kind of remind me of our pastor, bro. He, you know, in the morning he has a certain regimen he goes by. He gets up, gets ready, goes straight to his Bible, reads. He's got some other books, autobiographies of missionaries he likes to read. Has a couple sessions of prayer, and he, you know, 7 days a week. He don't take Saturday and Sunday. I mean, he does it, you know, every day. He always tries to encourage us at church. You know, don't do it just Monday through Friday. Every day you get up and you meet with God, he's the most important one, right?
That's right.
And read and study his word, meditate, and the job you've got, you're kind of in and out of your truck. You got a chance to, you know, not be interrupted. You can speak to him all day long. And like now, here you are. God's putting opportunities in front of you and people ask you to pray. It's just amazing how God works, isn't it?
That's right.
It's amazing. Is there a way, Daryl, that we can get in touch with you somehow?
I'm an old-fashioned boy.
Okay.
I ain't got computer.
That's good.
Don't want one. But you can call me at
270-528-6286. Okay. Can you repeat that one more time, bro?
270-528-6286.
Amen. We appreciate that, brother. Appreciate everything you said today. And it's been, man, it's been a privilege to be here with you today, you and Roger both. And appreciate Roger doing his podcast. And
amen.
Travis, any closing thoughts here?
No, brother. I just sitting here listening. I love to listen, hear people talk about the Lord. I know Brother Roger has too. Yeah. We get to be the beneficiaries of your all's conversation.
Yeah.
No, brother, we appreciate you taking the time to come out and talk to us. And I know some things you said will be an encouragement to our listeners. And already been an encouragement to us, and I love the Lord's work. I just love to see what God does and how he does it and the ways he does it and how, who he does it with. And he's an amazing God, never ceases each day to do something new that'll just completely throw you off guard, you know, and something that you could praise him for. But brother, we appreciate what you've done, appreciate your words of wisdom, and can't wait to get this published and get it out there for people to hear.
Amen. So we're going to be closing out to all of our listeners. And again, you've got Daryl's phone number. If you'd like to reach out to him, I'm sure he'd be glad to talk to you, help you out any way he can. And again, please reach out to Travis and I via email. It's glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. You can email us there. We'll get back with you as soon as we can. We'll try to have some other podcasts coming up pretty soon, and so we've got 2, 3, or 4 backlog right now. We're having some technical difficulties on a couple of them, but we'll have those up soon. And we just pray that you'll just reach out to somebody, like Daryl said, you know, pulling up in the yard and having your radio going with some gospel music. And you know, we do that just because that's who we are, that's what we like to listen to. But you never know who's going to walk in front of you or be listening from afar off, and how God may touch that heart. And so, Daryl, I really appreciate everything you've helped us with today. And so we appreciate it so much. I'm sure our listeners are going to appreciate it as well. So anyway, until the next podcast, we're going to sign off. And it's been a blessing to be here. And we'll talk to you next time.
Well, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in today. It was a pleasure and a great privilege for Travis and I to meet with Daryl McCorkle and just to hear his story. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get God's people, trying to get their story out there. And so everybody has a story. And so, you know, the story, the main theme is helping people come to Jesus to exalt his name, to glorify his name, and to tell everybody we can about him. But we thank you so much for tuning in. Please share this on your social media or however you can. We appreciate that so much. Reach out to us by email. On the our email is glorytohisnamepodcast@gmail.com. Be glad to get any feedback from you. And until next time, let's all continue to glorify his name. Amen.